You're listening to Voice Actor Showcase, episode number 8. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Voice Actor Showcase, a podcast about voice actors and their stories. I'm Jun Yoon. Welcome to episode 8. Please connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Voice Actor Show. I'm also uploading these episodes to YouTube at youtube.com/voicemoto. The Voice Actor Showcase is about voice actors on their journey to realize the dream of being an established voice actor. We're interested in telling the stories of countless voice actors around the world who are working very hard to make their dream a reality. Whether that means they've just purchased their very first 416 or has just signed with their first talent agency. Congratulations! The voice actors being featured on this podcast are paid $50 for their work, and I do apologize. Your voice, time, and work are worth so much more than that. As always, I promise to increase the pay as my earning potential gets bigger. Also, as Winston Churchill once wrote, a 50 is a 50. Now, if you have an interesting story to tell, and you still haven't quite nailed down the conversational announcer delivery, I'd love to have you on the show. Please contact us by visiting voiceactorshowcase.com. Today, we'll meet a voice actor from Houston, Texas. I will inform you now that he's an established full-time voice actor. But June, why? Not only do I place significant importance on telling the stories of all of us in our respective places in our journeys, I also value the wisdom of those of us who have forged their paths ahead of us. So every now and then, I plan to host established voice actors to share with us their stories. After all, we're all in the middle of our journeys. With a career spanning 36 years in radio, he's worn many hats during his tenure as an on-air personality, production director, news anchor, just to name a few. After leaving radio, he started his voiceover business in 2014 and has worked with major brands like Shell, Hewlett-Packard, and ConocoPhillips. We'll listen to his story about how he got started in radio as well as his radio career, the transition from radio to voiceover, his current state of business as a voice actor, and where he plans to go from here. It's going to be an episode packed with great stories, flavorful Texas accents, and most importantly, valuable information. So, please welcome Kevin Charles Minutry.
From a single airstrip amidst an improbable desert town to a thriving aviation complex serving the entertainment and tourism capital of the world, from hundreds to thousands to millions of passengers, for 70 years, it's been our gateway to the world. For 70 years, it's been the welcome sign. For 70 years, it's been ours. LAS, more than just an airport code, it's Las Vegas. The city whose mere mention elicits a smile in every corner of the world. It's our city, our story, our McCarran International Airport. It's for all of us, from everyone here to the rest of the country and world. It's our airport. It's an anchor to our economy. Its ultimate capacity has yet to be realized. Neither has our capacity for understanding what it means to us. The world loves Las Vegas. There's magic in the air, even at 20,000 feet with the first views of our bright light city. And there's a slot machine at your gate. Nearly 50 million people every year pass through this gateway. Everyone brings the same thing, that unique sense of excited anticipation, that Vegas feeling, an emotion unmatched at any other port in the world. It's where legends are made and legends have played. It's that feeling that built this town. It's this airfield that made it possible. From the early days and the crazy days, through the Glitter Gulch and the Ring-a-Ding days, and the Home to the King days, to the Howard Hughes and the Volcanoes and Dancing Waters days, to the Rebels, Aces, Knights, and soon-to-be Raiders days. McCarran has been there, cheering all along, 7 decades and still climbing, with pride in the past and an eye to the future. It's for the student at UNLV coming here from abroad, the couple from Summerlin visiting family in Seoul, the family stationed at Nellis gratefully waiting for their airmen's return, the workers up and down the strip welcoming the visitors that drive our economy, all energized by the promise that Las Vegas has to offer. From every continent and country, it's for all of us, for everyone, and for the generations that will come. 70 years and just getting started. Our airport, McCarran International.
Kevin Charles Ministry. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on, man.
Thank you very much for being on. You know, right off the bat here, I want you to know that I'm bending my rules just a little bit here on this episode. The podcast is really intended to tell the stories of voice actors on their journey to become an established voice actor, but you're an exception here, sir.
You know? That is your opinion of it, at least. Well, I appreciate that. I have been at it for a while. I don't know how established I am, but I have been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, see, I think from here and there, I think it's really nice to host an established voice actor such as yourself. I really believe there's a lot to be learned from experienced talent like you. So thank you very much for being here today and allowing me to kind of pick your brains a little bit.
Well, I hope you find something worthy of picking. Thank you.
All right, let's get started. You have a career in radio that lasted for 36 years as an on-air personality, production director, news anchor, and many other hats, I'd imagine. How and why did you get into the radio area in the beginning? Tell us that story.
Well, I grew up with a brother who got into the radio business when he was in his teens in high school. And I kept hanging out with him at the radio station. I thought, this is a pretty cool way to make money.
Nice.
And so it kind of developed from that. Eventually, he left the industry, and that's when I really got going in it in East Texas and just kept going there for years and years, and finally made it to the Houston market and spent 20 plus years in Houston.
Wow.
Doing various jobs, like you just mentioned, the production, the on-air, the news, a little bit of everything.
You know, it's, even today, right? I think there's this really interesting sense of like romanticism about working at a radio station. Now, what's it really like behind the scenes here? Real talk.
Right. Well, first off, it's changed a lot since I was in it, and even just this past week, there's been a lot of layoffs in the industry, so it's really changed as far as the personality part of it. The product that they're putting out there is still, the entertainment value is still there. There is still got to be somebody that voices the parts, unless they're going to go, like, be Spotify or something and just play music and nothing.
Right.
But there is that sense of being a little local celebrity when you're in there. When you're on the radio, people actually know your name. They may not know your face because they hardly ever see it. But, you know, it is kind of it has been for me at least a rewarding career, not necessarily making a lot of money, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed working with the people and talking to the community and about the interests of the community and supporting organizations in the communities where I worked. Even just moving around from one size market to the other, like I came from the city of Nacogdoches, Texas, the oldest town in Texas, a little college town, 25,000 people with the college in session, you know, those kind of places, and then come to Houston. And I thought, wow, I'm going to Houston, Texas, big market radio. And I get here and I'm like, it's just another radio station. It's the same. While you're on it, you're just talking to a lot more people all at the same time.
Wow. So no, like, open bars or red carpet that roll? No?
No, I don't recall that. There may have been a few bottles stored in desks, but we won't talk
man.
About that.
Okay. I mean, I realize that the industry in radio has changed a lot, but
yes.
Is radio still a viable avenue for an aspiring voice actor today? And if so, what does one need to do to prepare himself or herself to be able to get in there?
It just really depends on whether you like to eat or not. I really don't see that much as far as the future of being an air personality anymore myself. Mm. It is one of those things that has just changed over the years so much that, well, they can right now work from a hub and send your voice out to all the different stations that particular ownership has. So it's eliminated a lot of the learning ground for people to get into the business, which was work in the small markets like I had done and then move yourself up. And that opportunity is not as easily achieved now. It's one of those tough things. Now, on the commercial side of it, yes, there is still a market for that because those commercials still need to be aired. And for years, the DJs themselves or air personalities, whatever they want to be called, were asked to do production in their off time when they were not on the air. So they would be the voices of the local Chevy dealer or the local pizza place or whatever. And they were not paid extra for that. It was just part of the job. And so now they don't have that staff available, and it's opening up a few opportunities there for people to contract out to radio groups and say, I can do some of your commercials. And it's not just the radio itself, it is the people who are doing online radio now. And so there are lots of opportunities still on that, but I don't know if it's as much in the personality part as it is in the production part.
Wow. I mean, the evolution of technology has changed so much.
Yes, it has.
About everything, really, hasn't it?
Absolutely. It is kind of scary when you look at where it's come from, playing records and having turntables in the studios and big reel-to-reel tape recorders when I started, until now it's you go in there and you're punching a button on a keyboard, and that's pretty much all you're doing, and the computer is playing all the music. It's all lined up for you. There's no queuing up a record at the last minute or anything. It took a lot of the fun out of the job.
So you started your full-time voice business in 2014, leaving radio behind.
Yep.
Now, working as a voice actor is, more often than not, I think, operating your own business, right? It's the business side of being an actor that everybody has to, you know, deal with at some point here. What were some unforeseen hurdles and or aspects of starting a business on your own from your own experience here?
Biggest hurdle for me, I think, was the fact that there was no paycheck. And that is a big deal, because you're so used to having that check come in and you've got a schedule to keep because the boss expects you to be there between these hours every day. And so they're paying you for your services. There's nobody paying you unless you go find the client
right
when you're working for yourself. You find yourself wearing hats that you don't like to wear sometimes, too. You wear all the hats in the business. I'm good at the talent side of it. I'm good at the talking to people in person side of things, but I'm not the guy that wants to pick up the phone and do a cold call to try to solicit somebody's business. There's bookkeeping to do. There's marketing that I'm still trying to learn how to do. There's a lot of things that you really should take a business course of some sort, and then you've got to do accounting. It's just crazy. It's a lot of work.
Completely agreed. Oh, man.
You've done that, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. I had to research like nobody's business to get mine up and running.
Research. I forgot about the research part. That's right. It's not just all the glory of sitting behind a microphone and running your mouth all day.
Absolutely. And speaking of running your mouth all day, you have a long and impressive list of clients you've worked in the past, like huge international brands. I see Shell, Hewlett-Packard, BP, ConocoPhillips, Weatherford Tools. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. How does one go about receiving these types of opportunities and clients?
Those are clients that came to me by way of my agency representation. I am listed with Pastorini Bosby Talent here in Houston, and I got in with them when I was fairly young, still working in radio, so it was a part-time hustle for me at the time. And through their relationships with these companies, many of which are based here in Houston, it has really worked well for me, and I hope that it continues to work that way for me in the future, because I would have had no access probably to those particular type of clients without that agency being in between.
I guess agency representation should really be one of those mile markers or milestones of one's career as a voice actor then.
I think it is, and I think it's possibly in some aspects dwindling a little bit, but there is still a need. And I know that I couldn't say any more nice things about my agents, because they work their butts off to get me work, and because they're making money when I make money.
Right.
And it's all a part of what can we sell. And if you're a marketable product, and evidently they found me marketable at least for a good while now. But if you don't have that, you're on your own completely. You don't have somebody to negotiate your rates for you or the usage for you and things that another part of that, wearing some hats that I don't really know about. The agency makes it so easy. They just call and say, are you available? Yes, I am. I'll show up at the time you told me and I'll make the money and we'll do the thing. It's wonderful.
What is that relationship like between you and your agent? Like an employer-employee kind of thing? Or is it more like coworkers, friends, best friends? I don't know.
I would love to be really best friends with them. And over the years, I've gotten to know the ladies at Pastorini Bosby. It's all ladies. And once I got to where I knew them and they knew what I was capable of, they would put me out for jobs that I didn't even know about and just call me one day and say, hey, I've got a booking for you. Are you available? There was no audition or anything like that. That is the good part of the agency representation. I'm not responsible to talk to them every day. I do want to keep in touch with them so they don't forget about me.
Of course.
Over the years, the last 3 or 4 years in particular, they've had some staff changes due to one of the ladies retiring. And she had been one of those key players who had really plugged me into a lot of different spots that I made good money off of. And then when she went away, they got somebody else in there. That person didn't know me as well. So I'm having to make sure that I reach out to them now a little bit more than I did before to introduce myself to the new people and then make sure that they know what I've done in the past, because they have no clue that I've done all these jobs for these different, you know, especially the oil companies that are based in this area. So I have to make, it's a little bit of legwork on your own, and just being there when they open their doors for an open house and things like that so that they don't forget about you.
Now, I'm sure there's a lot of voice actors that are listening that are ready to make that move. They have mm-hmm. professional demos prepared, mm-hmm. Multiple ones. They've worked with big clients. They're ready to move on to that next step.
Right.
What kind of advice, a brief one, would you give to those voice actors that are fully ready to seek representation?
First off, be fully ready. Second, look up the agents that you're going to try to work with, because a lot of times on their websites, they will list exactly the things that you need to do, the hoops you need to jump through as far as getting in touch with them about being represented. They are going to tell you specific directions to follow a lot of times. And so if you don't follow those directions, many of them will just go into the trash, because they're not going to work with somebody who can't follow the directions in the first place. So that's a big piece of advice that I would make sure that you do, is just do your homework before you reach out to them. Also, make sure that they understand that you have something special that maybe they don't have enough of or don't have on their roster right now. So a little bit more research as to what kind of voices they represent, what kind of clients they work with, these kind of things. Know what you're getting into when you reach out. I've made the mistake in past years of reaching out to agencies that I thought would be a good fit for me, and then I get a note back, well, we've got 12 of you. You know, we don't need you because we've got 12 guys who sound just basically the same. And so that's a little bit upsetting when you find that out, because you could have done your homework and maybe tried for someone else. When I got into it, one of the best keys for getting that relationship started was a friend who was already represented. It was actually a coworker. The coworker of mine at the radio station I was with at the time actually came to me and said, you know what you need to do is, because I was the production guy at the time, and he said, you need to be listed with Pastorini Bosby. They bring me all sorts of work. And I started then asking, well, how do we do that? And so he put in a good word. They reached out to me then, said, hey, can we get a demo? We got it all worked out, and I've been with them since the 90s.
Wow.
So I can't argue. Yeah.
A long, healthy relationship, then.
It has been. Hopefully, it will continue to be.
I'm sure it will, actually.
I say let's raise a glass to that, yes.
Yeah, I'll drink my water.
There you go.
I mean, so would you say that if you're fully aware, if you're a voice actor and you're fully aware of your own niche of the market that you serve, then you would have a better chance of obtaining that representation then?
I think it helps. I think it really does help to know exactly what you're... We all want to be the jack of all trades. Yeah, put me in, coach. I'll play. I'll do that. It doesn't matter what... You know, we can know 10 different genres really well, but if we can't say, you know, I really specialize in explainer videos or whatever, it's really helps to give them a target of something. Now, once you get inside the agency, you can explain to them, but yes, I also know this.
Oh,
I've had that happen
yes.
to me as well. I'm getting all sorts of commercial auditions from them, and I'm like, you know, I also like to do corporate videos, narration, safety films, whatever it may be. I'm also good at that. And so they didn't realize that, because all they had ever heard was my demo that said I did commercials. So you kind of have to get in the door, then expand.
And your niche is the company spokesman, quote unquote. What does that mean?
I like doing the corporate videos. And everybody's company has to have a spokesman that is on their website nowadays. They've got a voice, basically, that represents the company, and I want to be that guy to the companies that I work with. And in a lot of what I target as far as marketing is concerned, I am targeting people who are producing or companies who are producing those kinds of videos. Like I said, the safety videos, the training videos, the look at the awards we've won type videos, plus, you know, company end of year benefit videos. Here's what we offer. Here's how you sign up for our benefits package. So I figure that the company spokesman sounds like what I am. I'm the guy that passes along the company information.
Now, you've studied with various voice coaches, including Nancy Wolfson, a really prominent and well-known name here in the LA area. Why is it important to get training from an appropriate and professional voice coach? You were in radio for 36 years, and you have that experience under your belt. Why did you feel the need to be retrained, if you will?
Because I was trained to be a radio guy and talk like this all the time. And when I got with Nancy, the first thing she said was, you got to lose that. Bring your voice down into its natural register. Nobody wants to hear you screaming. They want to hear you talk. There were so many things that I had to learn and reprogram myself to do when I have to approach a script. Nancy was the best in the industry at that time that I would had ever heard of. I had seen her at, I think, VO Atlanta the very first year it was on. And a friend of mine had worked with her, and she recommended her. And then I called a guy named Larry Davis out in L.A., who's a big voice talent. He said, yeah, she's the top of the list. If you're going to go for somebody as a coach, she's the one to do it. And at the time, I forked over every bit of money I had and got in with her, and I loved it. She knows I'll say this, but it can make you cry, it can make you scream and beat your head against the wall, but you come out of it a much better voice talent for having experienced her coaching curriculum.
I've also heard that she's very tough.
She is. But if you don't want someone who's tough, why are you getting a coach?
Exactly.
If you're getting a yes man or woman, then anybody can do that for you. You can go to your spouse and say, hey, what do you think I sound like? Oh, you're great, honey. It's wonderful. But Nancy will tell you, no, stop. Wait, go back and do it this way. Try it this way. Think about it from this angle. And you just learn different ways of approaching a script that otherwise you would just read like everybody else reads. And once you've gone through her curriculum and you pay attention to what she's trying to teach and you actually put it into practice, you find yourself saying things in ways that you never thought possible. The real good ones have your best interest at heart.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a big thing people need to keep in mind.
Absolutely.
One of the first things that Nancy said to me, also I worked with a lady by the name of Julie Williams. She said the same thing to me, is I want to help you make a living in this business. I want you to learn what it takes to survive in this business and thrive.
And there are those types of coaches and companies, and there are other entities that promise enriching VO coaching and training with a demo produced at the end. No matter how you look at it, it's thousands and thousands of dollars, right? And it's not an investment decision that anybody should take lightly here. And if I'm a voice actor, aspiring voice actor, and looking for training, what are some questions that I should be asking myself as well as to the coach or the company before handing my credit card over?
I think the big thing that attracted me the way the coaching that I have done is that there was a set curriculum for here's what we're going to study. You can take it at your own pace. It can be done in 6 weeks. It can be done in a year or two, whatever you want to do. It was up to me to schedule my appointments. And if I, as fast as I wanted to learn and study, and once you do the lesson and move on to the next one, it was something that was, it was organized. It had something in it that drove me to the next, and each lesson fed on to the next one. It was just good as far as a package is concerned. It wasn't just a deal. It was, here's what we're working towards. There's a goal at the end of this that we're going to record your demo. And along the way, I started getting auditions that came from my coach.
Huh.
And they came through an agency that worked with her that said, we know you coach people. Maybe you have ears on different people that can maybe fit some of these spots. And in fact, in my own personal experience, and I've seen it happen with other students, that I actually booked a national commercial for Humana.
Oh, my goodness.
Through that, and it paid for my demo. Literally. And I had money left over because it was a national spot, only ran for 3 months and it was done, but it was still my very first national spot. It timed out just perfectly
nice
with when I was recording my demo, and it paid the bill. So you can't beat coaching that pays for itself if you really think about it.
The best deal around.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's talk about your website. www.kevincharlesvoice.com, a website I think is an absolute necessity for today's voice actors. And kind of looking around your homepage here, the first thing that really catches my eye are your 6 different demos. Commercial, corporate narration, characters, medical narration, e-learning, imaging. Why is having a demo specific to a certain genre of voice work important in representing yourself?
Well, I also have audiobooks on a different page. We can talk about that later.
We'll get to that.
If you're going for a specific niche, they don't really care that you can do characters if they don't do characters. If they're into the business of e-learning and it's not the character type of e-learning, they want to know, can you teach? If it's radio imaging or things like that, they want to hear what they're looking to hire you for. And if you don't have those represented on your site, you at least need to have them in your little arsenal of MP3 files that you can send out. I chose to put mine on there just to show that I had a variety of possibilities, but I still try to gear my website towards that company spokesman. Here's what I do with my corporate videos. You'll see a bunch of videos on my site, and I think those are important so that people can actually hear you performing what they're hoping to hire you for.
Indeed. And so that's voiceover demos, example videos that of the spots that you were involved in. What other elements of the website is important?
Well, it really helps to say, here's how you contact me. If you don't make it easy for the client to find you, then they're not going to find you. They're not going to take the time. So that needs to be front and center on every page, in my opinion. And when they do reach out to you, respond to them. Don't wake them wait. It's just common courtesy. If they've asked a question, reach right back out and say, hey, I don't have time to answer now, but I got your message. I'll be back with you soon or something. Just make sure you respond and acknowledge that they put it out there. I also try to put new material on my site. Like I said, I've got a page of featured videos, or here's some samples of what I've done. And I like to keep that updated as much as possible so that they see I'm currently working as a VO. I'm not just a guy who did a few things back in the 90s, and I've got it on my videos on my page. They need to see something fresh on there now and then that is obviously new, and that kind of shows that you're a working talent.
Right. Current and relevant. And
exactly.
Right. Now, you and I both at one point worked for the same client. You worked as an American narrator for a series of Car City videos, and I worked as the Korean version from Construction Squad to Tom the Tow Truck to Super Truck.
Yes, those were the days.
When I would dub my portion, I would always receive your videos first and just hear your voice in the background as I narrated in Korean. And I've always found your Texas accent super like interesting and charming, and I wanna buy you a beer every time I dub. So
I didn't know I had an accent. I'm sorry. What?
It's great. I loved it every single time. I'd imagine you're originally from Texas.
Absolutely, born and raised. Yes.
How has Texas shaped you into the person that you are today?
I think that my Texas is one of my biggest selling points. It's one of my calling cards. In fact, I had a discussion not long ago with my coach and said, some of these auditions I'm doing, if I'm not getting them, am I being too country? Am I being too folksy? Am I being too Texan? And she says, no, don't stop being you, because that is one of your biggest selling points. Be yourself when you're reading. And I am naturally, I mean, I can clean up my Texas accent to a point, and I don't even think about it when I do. That came from years of being on the radio and trying to sound like your every guy, and not any particular guy in particular. You just wanted to sound like all the people on the radio.
Right.
And so I would clean things up a little bit. As I've gotten more and more into voiceover and people tell me to be myself, I think that Texas twang or whatever you want to call it comes through a little bit more. But occasionally, if I need to, I can clean it right up and it goes away. To me, it sounds fake when I do it, though. So I try to just be myself.
It's the most charming thing. I really, it's the most charming thing. I just love listening to you. I do.
Yep. So I have a question for you. Are you still doing some of the Car City videos at all, or has that kind of dried up for you? I mean, it did dry up for me for a while. It was one of those things I got through Voice 123 years ago, and it was a dirt cheap job to start with. But one year, I ended up making multiple tens of thousands of dollars off of that one client, and it was amazing that it just developed and it developed and it developed, which, wonderful. It still trickles in now and then, but it's not like it used to be.
Yeah, the story is exactly the same. I still work on them in the Korean dubbed version in trickles, but you're right. I also made tens of thousands off of that client in the years that it was good.
Right. But here's the key to that particular point. I want to make this, if you don't mind.
Please.
Don't put all your eggs in that one basket. Because I found myself struggling the year they cut back, because they were such a good client for several years in a row. And I'm like, well, gee, I don't have to work very hard because they're going to pay me this amount of money and I know it's coming. And then when it stopped coming, I'm suddenly going, wow, 80% of my income was tied up in that one client. And that's when you learn to figure out how to balance and diversify. It's another one of those business lessons you learn the hard way sometimes.
The people that are listening to this podcast, there's numerous voice actors all over the world. In fact, I have a session coming up with somebody in France and somebody in Germany later in the week. And these accents, both American regional to Canada, to Latin Americas, and other international parts of the world, does having these regional and international accent make you a more competitive player, do you think?
I think it does in a lot of different ways. I don't know that it's the greatest thing for all commercial activity in particular. But there are certain things like Ford trucks or whatever that are drawn to that good old boy sound that I can do. And I think that to me, yeah, it gives me a competitive advantage. There's several guys in the market in Texas that do that very well. Rob Reed over in Austin is one of them. He's that guy, you know, he's got that big booming voice and a little twang at the same time when he wants to. So I think, yes, I would not lose it for anything in the world. I mean, unless somebody really wanted to pay me to talk so proper that I didn't have it, that might change. I don't know.
Dynamic. I like that, too, actually.
I'm going to study your voice, by the way, because occasionally I have to do an audiobook or something that has an Asian voice. I'm like, wow, I know a guy I can listen to. Yeah,
call me anytime. I'll coach you through it. No problem.
There you go.
Now, you've worked on countless projects over these last years, and while you're capable of many different genres of voiceover, audiobooks seem to be an area that you're particularly enjoying. It's got its own page on your website, for goodness
Absolutely,
sake.
Absolutely, it does.
Tell us about your focus as an audiobook narrator. What kind of books do you like to narrate, and why are you drawn to audiobooks and these types of books?
Okay. I am one of those guys who does like to do long-form narration, and there's a couple of reasons behind that. I actually had lunch with another audiobook narrator in the area yesterday, and we were talking about this, and I said, one of the things that I appreciated about her story is that she has books lined up waiting for her to record.
Ah.
She is not every day going out and auditioning for material that may or may not come her way. People are actually coming to her now that she's established herself in the business. And those audiobooks pay pretty well if you're very good at reading. And then you send it off to someone else, pay them a little bit of money to do the actual edits and get it ready for the final thing. And it's just a nice way to know that you've got a check coming in every month in this business. And so it helps to kind of smooth over those humps in the business. You're still working on a book, so you have something that you can work on that's going to make you money. And when you do a 10-hour book that way, it comes out to pretty decent money.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
As far as what genres I lean towards history, faith-based books, and I just have a passion for the subject matter. I love history, and I'm very strong in my faith. So when it comes to reading books of that kind, I just love it, and I think it shows in my reads. Because when you're talking about something you're passionate about, it's going to come out a little bit better. I could read any kind of a book with all sorts of characters and crime and drama, and while I love watching movies that have that in them, I still would rather read about, you know, Civil War history or Texas history. I did several for the Texas Historical Association about the battles of the Alamo and the Battle of San Jacinto, which was right here in my own backyard. So, yeah, I think I did a pretty good job on those because they were something that meant something to me.
Nice. And speaking of characters, you've also played a number of characters in the anime realm, haven't you?
I have.
I found Council Member B on series like a famous series like Noir,
yep.
Kissling on Najika Blitz Tactics, and many other anime credits.
Yep.
What was that experience like, the ADR process, as well as working in that portion of the industry? And then what is just one anime character and that experience that kind of stands out to this day?
I think the biggest one that I had worked on when I really didn't even know what anime was at the time, that I got called by the agency that said, hey, we've got this guys here in Houston who are doing English translations of the Japanese anime. Are you up for it? And I'm like, okay. And then it was a flat rate for each hour in the studio with these guys for each session. And it wasn't a lot of money, but it was work. And it was a great experience. I worked on Gasaraki, as I was General Tokudaji, I think was my name. And it was my first one, and I was basically a military commander. And so you have to go back to the old acting chops that you got when you studied theater in school and interpret that script and try to be what you want to be, at the same time following the direction of a real live director who has helped translate the script. That is a great education for future reference in the voiceover business, learning how to take direction, how to change your read to fit the direction. And in this particular instance, one of the toughest things I had to do was learn how to make my words match the lip flap on the character on the screen.
Yes.
Boy, that was tough at first. It got easier after a while, but trying to read and watch a video at the same time and the script is in front of you down about 6 inches below the screen, it was like, I'm supposed to watch that and read this to say, oh yeah, that's going to be fun. As far as what my favorite things, and I don't think it was really a particular character that I really enjoyed, was when you're in the session, they would say, hey, we need a few guys getting beat up, or we need a crowd getting angry. We need some extra voices that are just going, and those are hilarious to do because you're just in there freelancing, doing freestyling, whatever you want to call it. You are coming up with, oof, ah, and the first time they ask you to die, oh my goodness, how do I do this? And you start making some guttural sounds that you didn't even know you had in you. It is hilarious. Yes.
It sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
It actually was. I haven't done it in years, but I would be welcoming it if it came my way again. I'll tell you that.
I would love to see that. I hear that. Yeah.
Well, just watch some Gasaraki. You'll probably hear me die a couple of times in that. So.
Perfect. Now, as we head towards the end of our section here, these are a set of questions that I ask everybody. I think the equipment that we use in our home studios and the equipment that we upgrade to in our paths are pretty interesting mile markers of our journey and our progress. What equipment did you start out with in 2014, and what do you use now?
Over the years, when I started full-time in 2014, but I had actually turned my garage. I had a detached garage at my house. I built a room in half of that, just closed it in and made a little 8x10 room. No booth or anything like that. It was just a room with a window unit air conditioner in it and a microphone that I had brought home from a radio station that they weren't using anymore. A boom arm for that to sit on that was one of the old spring-loaded things that creaked every time you moved it. And I was using, at the time, my father-in-law's old computer. And it was barely able to run my Adobe Audition software. So, yes, I have upgraded a little bit, and I'm now at least on a much better microphone with a fancier arm that holds it and keeps it much quieter. I'm actually working with the Harlan Hogan VO1A microphone.
Oh, yes.
It's only about $300, but I think this thing sounds pretty good. I really do, and I've never had any complaints about the quality of the production that's in here. I had to upgrade a few things like mic cables because I live fairly close to some radio towers, broadcast towers, and I was in here one day trying to do a book, and I realized I'm hearing music in the background. I couldn't figure it out.
Oh, no.
Had a guy listen to the audio who was an engineer, and he's like, yeah, you need to switch to these Mogami cables, and they're shielded. They'll cut out all those frequencies. Wonderful. Plugged them in. It's gone. Everything's perfect. So wonderful upgrades like that is what I've made. I've also since built an actual studio booth that is a little room with inside the room. It's not anything fancy that you go buy for thousands of dollars and have shipped across the big ocean, but this thing is pretty practical. I'm a do-it-yourself kind of guy and decided one day I need a booth, started building it. So here I am.
I mean, the initiative, I'm thoroughly impressed.
It has to stand up to some pretty tough things here. But, yeah, it works well. I've got it tuned to what my voice works with, and I've had other talent come in and use it as well. And it just sounds good, I think. And it's definitely here to stay. And as long as I don't sell my house and move, I'm good. After that, I don't have a clue what I would do.
Oh, man. What an inspiration. That's awesome. All right, so we're in the new year for 2020. What are some professional and personal goals that you have set for yourself for the upcoming year?
I have set a goal of becoming a marketer, first off, and that's a different way of saying it that I said to, and again, not endorsing, but I'm working with Mark Scott, who does a lot of marketing work, and some of his coaching is really helping me figure out what I need to say, how I need to say it, who I need to say it to, and how to find those people. That is one of my biggest goals, learning what I'm doing with marketing, learning to stay in touch with my clients so that I get repeat business, which has been one of my biggest downfalls, I think, in the business. And so now I'm trying to work on doing that. And this year, my goal is at least to double what I've made this last year. And I think it can easily be done. It's just a matter of doing the work. I know the work, what it needs to be. I know how to do it. I have the facilities. I have the tools. I have the time. So why not do the work?
It's the simplest and the most effective advice. Do the work.
Isn't it? Just get up in the morning and do the work.
What do you have coming up? And where do you go from here?
I do have an interesting audition that I just did today. I can't say exactly what it's for or where, but it's one of those kind of jobs that you go, oh, Lord, if you could just help me get this one, it would save me a whole lot. You know, it would make me a lot of money, and it's a big name client. I've always looked at things like that, and this is one of those things I'm having to beat myself over the head with, as if those are the things that the bigger talent are going to get. But I'm also a talented talent. I have to remind myself that. And that's not just being egotistical or anything like that, and I'm tooting my own horn, but I'm just as good as anybody. I've got a facility that is just as good in as far as the listener is going to be hearing it. It's got the quality. It's got the talent. I've got the training. There's no reason I can't get a job like this particular one that I actually got a call back to a second round audition today. So
beautiful.
Keep it quiet. Keep it quiet and say a quick prayer if you do.
Everybody listening, okay? You heard it here.
There you go. There you go. But really, that's it. I'm trying to get more book work and hopefully going to make it to APAC, the Audio Publishers Conference in New York. And meet some of the publishers themselves and, you know, do a little networking, try to make the career a little better and bigger.
Yes, sir. And if they want to learn more about you, where can they go to find you, Kevin?
that lovely website we talked about, kevincharlesvoice.com. I'm also all over Facebook. I have both a business page and a personal page, and I talk about my business in both. And, of course, Twitter and good old email, kevin@kevincharlesvoice.com. And my phone number, 281-948-9750, is there. It's all over my Facebook page and website as well. So call me. Let's do some business.
Fantastic. Hey, thank you so much for spending some time here with me this afternoon. Oh, man.
It's been a pleasure. It has been a pleasure.
I wish you the best of luck, of course, and success and great things to come in 2020. Thank you very much for your time, Kevin.
I thank you for having me on, and the best to you as well.
This has been Voice Actor Showcase. Visit our website at voiceactorshowcase.com. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, contact us at voiceactorshowcase.com. Thanks for listening.